Well, it is lovely to see you here. And for those of you joining us for the first time today, welcome. It's good to have you. Prayer is an incredible privilege. I don't know if you have sat back and thought about what a privilege it is recently, but it is astonishing. It's only really possible through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, opening up the way for us. Our ability to pray to our Father any time without hindrance is something that cost Christ a huge amount. But it has bought us access to the King of all things. You will have no doubt heard the analogy that it's just not possible to wander in and see King Charles anytime we fancy it. Well, we can wander into the throne room of God anytime we fancy it. Talk, enjoy, pour out our heart to him. It's astonishing. And we do all that knowing that we are loved. Well, if I'm honest, maybe we don't always know we are loved, but we are loved. He delights to hear our voice. He longs for us to speak with him. Even on our muddly days, our I want to give up days, I don't know what to pray days, it's all coming out wrong days. The Lord loves us to speak to him in tenderness and care. Because doing so is a deeply relationship-building thing. We know what it's like with our friends and our family. It is as we speak with them that our relationship deepens. Distance, well, the old adage does go that distance can sometimes make the heart grow fonder, but I'm not sure that desperately applies when it comes to friendships. We want to spend time together. We want to have time interacting with one another, getting to know each other, getting to know our desires, our hopes, our dreams, our hurts, our struggles. Prayer is also change-producing. It's not that our prayers are so powerful that God sits there going, oh, well, I better do that then. It's not that it's our prayers that produce the change, but God is a loving God who loves to listen to his children, who loves to act in the ways he knows to be best. Of course, the ways he knows to be best aren't always the same as what we think is best, and we have to acknowledge there is sometimes a difference between the way he answers and what we would quite like him to answer. But he is active. And as we pray, we often find that our hearts become more aligned to his heart. That actually sometimes we can move away from what we originally think we wanted to what he wants. And little by little come to know that it is good. It doesn't happen overnight, of course. But a journey that's good to go on. Prayer is personal as well. I mean, there are liturgical prayers where we can stand together, and we might do one of those a little later, where we can just join together in saying words of unity. But a lot of the time, our prayer is deeply personal. We say things to God that no one else will say, because they're about our life, or our people that we love, or our circumstances. There's a uniqueness to our prayer life, which is deeply wonderful. It is good to pray. And yet, there is no quicker way to induce guilt in the life of a Christian than to ask the question, how's your prayer life going? Because so many of us struggle, don't we? I remember when I was at theological college, the person in the room next to me got up and had a prayer time at 5 o'clock every morning. He was also quite lively in his prayers. And I remember at 5 o'clock every morning it being imprinted on me that how prayerless I was, because all I wanted to do was go to sleep, which in fairness, I don't think is wrong at 5 o'clock in the morning. But I was deeply aware that he was praying for hours and I was napping. I found it hard to get up. Even later in the day, I find it hard to pray sometimes. Well, let's have a chat before we actually dive into some principles and then the practicalities of praying for our friends. Why do we find it hard to pray and keep praying for friends and family who are facing difficult times? You can let your conversations range as widely as you like, but our focus today is very much on praying for those who are suffering, whether they are in our family, our church, our wider friendship community, or maybe even ourselves. Why do we find it hard to pray? Why do we find it hard to keep praying for those who are hurting? 2 minutes with the person next to you. It's good to chat. Well, I thought we'd have a little bit of a feedback on that. You don't need to share lots, but maybe just a little of why we can sometimes find it hard. So we will use the microphone for this. If you just want to share something, pop your hand in the air and a microphone will come to you. Why do we find prayer hard?
I find it easier to pray if I write the names and the situation down on pieces of paper in my diary, because if I don't have that, my mind just goes to pot and I don't know what to pray for. And it just makes it so much harder. But having a prayer list and, you know, the situation and seeing prayer answer, then moving on to something else in someone's life. It's great to see prayer come be answered because it encourages you and it encourages the person. And the person always turns around and says, well, can you pray for this now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. You've highlighted a number of really important things there. Sometimes we just forget and we're busy, and therefore having that structure can be helpful. Sometimes it's hard to concentrate. And sometimes we don't notice the answers to prayer. So again, writing them down can just go, oh, yeah, God is at work. And that can spur us on. Yes, thank you.
A couple of things that came to mind. One is sometimes I just don't have the words. I don't know what to say to God about it.
Yeah.
And other times I'm impatient. And sometimes I've seen friends, family suffering for a long time. And I pray for them and I don't see change. And that can be discouraging for me.
Thank you, Sister, for your honesty. And I'm sure a lot of us can nod along to that. Yes.
I find it interesting that some of my difficulties is mood related. So I notice if I'm feeling quite anxious for myself or for others, I do find it easy to pray. But interestingly, when I feel low, when my mood is low, I find that difficult then. I think my mind goes blank. And that's why I find it helpful to have a rhythm. Yeah. And I worked in... I'm retired now, but I worked in mental health. So I know that even when I don't have the words to say, as the previous man said, sometimes it's really helpful just to have something noted and to get into doing the rhythm, even if my mood is telling me not to, sort of thing.
Thank you. Yeah, and I think that's really important to note, isn't it? There are going to be seasons where prayer is relatively easy, seasons where prayer is hard. And that's not necessarily a spiritual indicator. That can be how our mood and our emotion is going.
I think sometimes it's hard to pray because we all probably know somebody who had cancer or got cancer, but then sometimes there's the, you know, God decides. So sometimes we prepare for people who are elderly, who then recover, to people who are very young, who, you know, are still struggling and seem to be on a, you know, downward spiral, really. So I think then it's hard to be, you know, galvanised into prayer then.
Thank you for sharing that. And it genuinely is hard, isn't it, when the Lord does things that are a little mysterious and we find really hard. Thank you for reflecting that. Well, we've already touched on a number of these. But some of the big challenges are we can't always find the words. And that's especially, I think, when we are struggling or someone really close to us is struggling and we feel utterly overwhelmed by the situation they are facing. It's not always easy to go, here are the six things that it would be good to pray for. Sometimes we just want to sob. And you know what? That is okay. We can cry in the Lord's loving arms. We don't always have to be articulate, but it is nice to have some help to find the words. We don't always know what God's will is. We will often pray in Jesus' name or your will, not Lord, not mine, but we don't obviously know what the Lord's will in every circumstance, maybe not even in the majority. And therefore, being able to pray in line with his will can feel a bit tricky. We've already said it can be hard to keep going when we're not, you know, we're not seeing that change. We're not seeing an encouragement. And therefore, sometimes we get us stuck and go, oh, should we really keep on praying? Is it worthwhile? And in our heads, of course, we know yes. But in our hearts, we can worry a little. And of course, we just get busy and distracted. Sometimes if someone close to us has big needs, we are flurrying around, you know, taking them places, doing a bit of personal care, looking after them, lots of practical things, which are really important. But those things can take over. And sometimes the prayer gets pushed to one side. Well, I'd love you to think now of one person in your life who is really struggling. There may be many, but the seminar is only an hour, so we're going to have to focus a little bit. And think of that person. And what we're going to do through the rest of this seminar is think of some principles of how we can pray for that person and then actually spend some time praying for them in different ways. Now, there will be some options coming up. You can either turn to the people next to you and pray with them. If you do that, I suggest you don't use your friend or family member's name. We want to care for them well. And it's always possible that someone that knows them could overhear. And we just want to be very wise about other people. So pray for them anonymously or change their name if you want to use a name. But actually, not everyone in this room will want to turn to somebody next to them and pray about a suffering family member or friend. Please know it's absolutely fine to use our sort of quiet reflection prayer times to write your prayers down if that's what you prefer. So please know you have absolute freedom to pray out loud or not as you see fit, whichever works for you. But with that one person in mind, let's look at some principles of how we can keep on praying for the people we care about. I don't know about you, but I don't often read the Song of Songs, Song of Solomon. It's one of those books of the Bible that it just kind of, well, it doesn't get preached on particularly often, doesn't come up in my Bible reading plan particularly often, and it sort of is not one that I just naturally turn to and go, oh, I think I'll read that today. It kind of gets set to one side. But you may be aware that it's a sort of a dialogue between two people, a woman and a man, who are deeply in love with one another. And as that dialogue goes on, we see that it's a bit of a picture of the relationship between God and his children. If you read the Song of Songs, you will be able to see some verses like how much he delights to hear her voice. And that is a little glimpse of how God views us. He delights to hear our voice. Now, sometimes that doesn't feel very credible, does it? Because first thing in the morning, I am almost grunting my prayers. They're not particularly articulate. They're not particularly rooted in scripture. Sometimes I'm just getting a list out. It doesn't feel particularly delightful. And it's worth knowing that it's not how well we pray that makes God delight. It's the fact that he's in relationship with us and he delights to hear from us just because we're his children. Some of us here will be parents, some of us grandparents, some of us will have wider family or friends with young children. And you will know that sometimes they babble. I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever. And yet, unless you're absolutely exhausted, there is joy in that. And that's a little glimpse of how God sees us. It's not that we're aiming to babble, but it's just that even if it all comes out wrong, he still is delighting to hear our voice. The second thing to remember to spur us on is actually God loves our friends and family even more than we do. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't love them enough. It just means that his capacity for love is always bigger than ours. And therefore, we can be confident in our prayers for ourselves or others that we are talking to a God who is overflowing with grace and mercy and love. So we can trust him to act in ways that are wise and good. Of course, that doesn't mean he's going to say yes to all of our prayers. But it does mean that if he says no or wait, there's a good reason for that. We may not know it yet. We may not know it ever. But we can trust his character. He's not being capricious. He's not being unkind. He's not being asleep. He's not being lazy. He's being wise in the way that he acts. Which means us remembering that God's timing and plans are not our timing and plans. Often I think I would, you know, if I were God, I mean, we can all be very grateful I'm not, but if I were God, then I would just sort things out within a couple of weeks. Because, you know, we can all grow a bit through a bit of pain. Actually, it's useful for developing perseverance to have a few hard times. But 2 weeks, that's enough. Then we'll sort it out, and then we can just go on and be better after that. Oh, here come the Jets. Take the Jets as an opportunity to pray. It is a seminar on prayer, after all. But we want to be convinced, as we look in the Bible, we see lots of people for whom hard times went on for a long, long time. God is a God of goodness. He's not necessarily a God of speed, because he is eternal and his plans are long-term plans. Think of Job. Think of Joseph. Think of Ruth and Naomi. Think of so many characters. Think of David. Think of how long many women in the Old Testament waited for a child. Think of Abraham. He is a God who works slowly. And as we see him working slowly throughout God's word, we can give ourselves a time frame that goes, he may well be working slowly now. It's actually not slowly, it's perfectly, but it feels slowly to us. We can also remember that God will help us in our prayers. When we stumble, then actually Jesus is interceding for us. The Spirit is groaning with us. He is actively, I suppose, helping our prayers. And so even if it all comes out horribly wrong from us, the Lord will still get what our prayers are about. And we've got each other, maybe primarily in the local church, but even just here this morning, we've got each other to spur us on in our prayers. Because I don't know about you, when I'm sitting alone, sometimes my mind wanders, or my phone will beep, or I'll just get distracted in my prayers. But actually, if I'm sitting with someone and we've set aside time to pray, then I'm much more likely to be focused. Groups help. We need each other. And there's absolutely no shame in asking for help with our prayers. So how do we actually do the business of praying for people we care about? Well, the first thing is to really know the person and what they're going through. We were looking at the matter of anxiety on Monday. And it's very easy. I think I might even have mentioned it. You hear someone is anxious and you go, oh, yes, well, prayer and petition, let's bring it all to the Lord. Consider the lilies. Lord, please help my friend consider the lilies and not be anxious. Now, considering the lilies is a brilliant thing to do. That verse of scripture is a wonderful, rich and deep verse. However, it does become a little bit like, you know, a game of snap. And you hear the word anxiety, you find a Bible verse that includes the word anxiety, you slap them together, go snap, that's my prayer, job done. But the trouble is, it's a bit superficial, because that person has probably considered the lilies several thousand times already. And actually what we want to be doing is getting a little deeper than the surface. Lord, please help that person know that you are sovereign and good. Lord, please help them know that Deuteronomy truth, that your everlasting arms are underneath them. Lord, please help them to know that they can talk to you themselves. They don't have to rely on me. That help them to know that you delight in their voice, not just ours. And it is as we get to know people and not assume how they're doing on any given day that our prayers become richer. Because just because I was feeling one way yesterday doesn't mean that's how I'm feeling today. Just because I was struggling one way yesterday doesn't mean I'm struggling like that today. And the trouble with family members, we see them so often sometimes, we think we know what they're going through. Maybe you know the experience of other people assuming they know what's going on for you. It doesn't help. We want to be clear and get to know and check in with people about how they're doing. And we also want to be aware of how we're praying for them. Are we praying for them quietly at home? In which case, we can pretty much use any words we like. Are we praying for them in Costa Coffee? In which case, we might want to turn the volume down and, you know, shrink down the length of our prayers. Are we praying for them after church? I mean, it might sound obvious to say, but I was in a very awkward situation with someone that decided to pray for me in a coffee shop. And they also decided that was the moment to lay hands on my head, put their hand in the air, and basically shout the prayer to the Lord. I, as gently as I could, laid hands on them and encouraged them to sit down quite quickly. We want to be appropriate to the context that we are praying in. We want to know our methods. I mean, on one level, prayer is just speaking. But are we using the Bible to root our prayers in a particular passage of scripture? Are we using some favourite liturgy? Are we going to use a metaphor to guide our prayer? And we'll look at all of those things in a minute. But maybe most importantly, we need to know our own hearts. Are we praying because we want the Lord to be at work? Or are we praying, you're going to get a glimpse of my own heart now, because we want it all sorted, because it's being a little bit of a drain on our time now? Because quite frankly, we want to be the people that get this sort of fixed for someone else? Because we want to be the saviour in the situation? People will pick that up in our prayers. We want to be going in humbly. We want to be going into prayer gently. We want to be going in wanting what God wants, loving that person deeply, not wanting it all sorted out for our convenience. Just one person, 1 minute with the person next to you. I'm not going to take any feedback from this because this is more personal. When you are praying, what are your own tendencies? Is it to get through your shopping list quickly, job done? Is it to fix people, save people? Is it out of guilt that you're praying? Is it out of care and love and a desire to honour the Lord? This isn't designed to be a guilt trip. This is just us getting a baseline of where we're at so we know what's going on in our hearts. And if there is anything that needs tweaking, well, we can ask the Lord to tweak that now before we go any further. Just 1 minute with the person next to you. No feedback. It's good to know what's going on in our hearts. The Lord is growing us. The Lord is building us. We do not need to panic if there is something going slightly astray. But let's just ask the Lord to build us, to encourage us, to help us pray as He would have us pray. But let's turn to our friends. We've got half an hour. How are we going to pray for them? Well, there are surface prayers which are good to pray, and deeper prayers that are good to pray. So, for example, imagine I have a friend who is ill. I have many friends in that situation. A surface prayer and a good prayer would be for healing. And, of course, we want to pray those prayers. Why wouldn't we want to pray those prayers? The Lord doesn't always heal, but sometimes He does. And it's in this life, obviously, in the next, we get healing. But, actually, it's a great thing to pray for healing. However, healing is probably not the only thing that that person needs right now. What else would it be good to pray for them? Maybe we want to be praying for them that they'll be able to trust the Lord as they wait on His purposes. Maybe we want to pray that they will be able to lament, to pour out their hearts of all the hard things that are happening. Maybe we want to pray that they will see God's character more, because actually they're not going to trust God if they don't think He's good. So maybe our prayer is, actually, Lord, please help them know that You are gentle and kind, because they need to know You're gentle and kind before they can trust You. So, Lord, help them know You're gentle and kind, and then help them to trust in Your gentle kindness. And, Lord, as they trust in Your gentle kindness, help them to persevere. We want to get just a little bit below the surface, a little bit below what the obvious might be. It's not that any prayer is a bad prayer, if it's, as long as it's within sort of God's sort of general parameters of things to ask for. But actually, let's go deeper. Let's think about what the underneath needs might be. So I just want you to turn to the person next to you, unless you want to do this quietly, which is fine if you do. Without using any names, just tell the person next to you, what is the surface need of your friend? But actually, what might a deeper need be that you could pray? Just again, 2 minutes with the person next to you. I'm conscious these conversations are relatively fast-paced. That is the way with seminars, I'm afraid. Well, I'd like you to keep those things in your mind as we go to look at three different ways we can be praying. And we'll be praying both for those sort of obvious felt needs, the big headline healing and things like that, but also for some of those beyond felt needs, those deeper needs. And we'll be doing that in three different ways. Firstly, we'll be doing it from the heart. I love the book of Habakkuk. I've already said this, haven't I? It's one of my favourite books of the Bible. And I love the real and raw and grittiness of Habakkuk. He was praying for a whole nation. Within the nation, there was injustice, a king that was very far from the Lord, law courts that were not upholding the cause of the poor and the needy, but there is injustice everywhere. And then externally, there was threat. The Assyrians had already wiped away the northern kingdom. The southern kingdom were under threat from the Babylonians, Chaldeans. And in the middle of that, he prays great prayers like, "How long, Lord? Why, Lord?" I'm paraphrasing, "What are you doing, Lord?" And after the Lord tells him, he comes back with, "You cannot be serious, Lord." And I love the way Habakkuk prays. They're not prayers of doubt. They're not prayers of accusation. They're prayers that go, "God, you are good and sovereign. And this looks like a really terrible plan. So please help me understand and trust you in the middle of it, because I don't quite get it." And I'd love us to know that we can pray with that same real, raw grittiness. It's hope-filled when we're real and raw. Actually, if we just go, "Lord, I really love you to heal. I accept that you haven't healed so far, but please do." It all just comes a little bit sort of hyacinth bouquet in keeping up appearances. I'm not sure that's the kind of prayers that the Lord is calling us to. Real, raw, gritty prayers where we can turn to him in trust and say what's absolutely on our minds, knowing that it's safe to express words to our Father. But how do we do that? The context of the Psalms are a good one. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 121. If you happen to have a Bible with you, if you haven't, please don't panic. I'm going to read it out. You can just sit back and enjoy the words. Psalm 121, one of those psalms that was sung whilst walking up the hill to Jerusalem. "I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The Lord will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." One way we might want to pray for our friends is to pray the Psalms with them. David and Asaph, who wrote most of the Psalms, knew how to lament with hope. They got tough times. It's one of the reasons where the Psalms are some of our favourite places to go when life is hard. And it's very, very simple. We can read the Psalm, divide it into sections, and then just add our own little bits as we go along. Now, of course, there are some pitfalls, aren't there? There are some verses in there, my phone has decided I really want to read Psalm 120 instead of Psalm 121. There we go. There are things like, "The Lord will keep you from all harm." That's a tricky verse, isn't it? Because someone who is actually facing deep harm, you think, well, how can I actually say the word, "The Lord will keep you from all harm," when you're already in a lot of harm? And so we want to be careful how we phrase some of these things. A lot of this will be referring to their spiritual state, rather than their physical state, because the Lord does sometimes bring us to the point where we can't go on anymore. It's called going home to him in death. It's not always promised that there's healing. And we don't want to lead with that in our conversation or our prayer. We do want that as an acknowledgement in the back of our mind. So we might have to talk about some of these things with our friend, but actually going through them, just going through verse by verse, and saying, "Lord, let's read verse 1 and 2. Lord, please help my friend to know that you are the maker of heaven and earth and one who is willing to help. Let's read verse 2 again and know that you are the L-O-R-D, capitals, Lord, the one who's in a covenant relationship with us. Let's read verse 3 and know that God is not asleep, that God is aware of what my friend is going through. And let's read verse 4, and know he always will be aware of my friend's plight. He's not switched off. He's not gone away. He's not uncaring. He is active and seeing. Let's look at verse 5. I know that the Lord is providing some shade, some refreshment. It might not be taking all the pain away, but he is actively bringing some relief. Let's lift our eyes and see what that is. Let's know that the Lord is going to watch over our friend for eternity. I'd like you to pick just one verse from Psalm 121 and pray that for your friend. Maybe one jumps out at you immediately. Maybe it doesn't. It's not like there's a bad verse in there, so pick a number between 1 and 8 and go for it. It's absolutely fine. But I'm going to give you about 4 minutes to do that in your groups, praying for your friends in light of the verse from Psalm 121. Well, one thing that we can do is be bringing our prayers to the Lord in the context of Scripture, in the context of the laments, the hard things that the psalmists write and pray about. We use their words to galvanize our words, to spur us on. I'm sure many of us will have done something similar. But it's so easy, isn't it, when someone is struggling long term, to actually find the space and the psalms to actually do that well. Someone's Bible's reading to them. It's good to know the scripture is being preached elsewhere. But psalms are not the only things that we can use. Metaphors can be really powerful as well. And this might be something that's a little less common when it comes to praying. The Bible uses lots of different words to describe God. He is our rock, our refuge, our fortress, our stronghold, the wing under whom we shelter. He is the shepherd. He is the king. He is light. He is bread. He is the gate. He is the door. He is the good shepherd. There is so many pictures for God, so many names for God in the Bible. And actually, thinking of one that really resonates with those deeper needs that we've been identifying for our friend, or indeed ourselves, can be very powerful in spurring on our prayers. There is a sense in which someone might be feeling desperately alone. And so, as well as saying, Lord, please help them not to feel so lonely, or please, Lord, bring people around them, but Lord, please help them to know that you are the ever-present God, or you are the shepherd who is leading them right now, or you are the king who sees all things. You are the king who is knitting together the hard circumstances. Picking a metaphor and keeping coming back to that time and time again can be helpful. But it's not just a case of, yes, God is a shepherd. I will pray that my friend knows that God is a shepherd, which is a good thing to pray. But actually teasing out the consequences of that as well. Lord, you are a shepherd. Please help my friend to know that she's not alone. You are a shepherd. Please help my friend to know she's not lost. You are a shepherd. Please help my friend to know that you are providing for her or him every day. You are a shepherd. Please help her to know that it's okay to rest because shepherds lead us to places of rest. You are a shepherd. Help my friend to know on those days when she cannot walk or he cannot walk that you will pick them up and put them on your shoulder and carry them. You are a shepherd. Help them to know that with your staff, you are batting away evil. You may not be wrapping them in bubble wrap and making it all easy, but there are still many things that you are protecting them from. Help them to know that. You are a shepherd. On those days when they want to wander away from you because they feel they can't follow anymore, help them to know that your staff is there to lovingly bring them back, to help them keep going. You are a shepherd. Help them to know that you are leading them to the victory feast. And that journey might be long and that journey might be hard, but help them to know that destination is sure and certain and it is good. You are a shepherd. Help them to know that means you are committed to their care. You're not a hired hand that's going to run away when things get tough, but you are there with them all day, every day, all night, even the darkest watches of the night. Help them to know that you are strong and you are brave. And if anything happens to them, you will go looking and bring them back. Pick up all that imagery of a shepherd. Now, some of the imageries go a bit longer than others. Shepherd, king. You know, those go for miles. Rock, you have a slightly smaller list of where the rock goes. But there's still really good fodder there in that metaphor. Rocks are strong. Rocks are safe. Rocks are places where you can hide. Fortresses. Pick up on some of the ways you've seen that used in films, maybe. A fortress, I'm a bit too into Lord of the Rings, I do apologise, but I am very into my Lord of the Rings. Fortresses are not a place you go after you've done your hair. Fortresses are places that you run in an emergency in all of your mess. You see that in films. You pick up on that imagery. Someone sounds the alarm. You grab an apple and you pelt. You know, you don't do the washing up before you go. It's that same. You are safe in God, and you don't have to brush yourself up to be safe in God. You can come with the mess. So pick an image for your friend. Pick a metaphor. I've suggested Psalm 23, but you don't have to use Psalm 23. Any metaphor you like is fine. And just like yesterday on Tuesday, we had some little cards. There are some metaphor cards here again. Again, not enough for one each, I'm afraid, but there are some here. Pick a metaphor and pray for your friends. I'll give you 3 minutes to do that, either silently or with the people nearby. There are beautiful things in the Psalms, the metaphors, the outpouring. We can use those as templates, as images to spur us on in our prayers. And we can share some of those things with the people that are struggling too. This is what I've been praying for you this week, that you will know, that you will run, that you will sense, that you will believe, that you will trust, that you will be safe in the Lord's loving arms. But we do have to strike a balance, because if all we are praying is, Lord, please help them know they're safe in you, help them rest in you, help them know that you are leading, then that's they're good things to pray, but actually, we haven't actually prayed for them to do anything and go anywhere and act. And it can sort of lead to a little bit of inertia if we are just praying that they will know who God is and that they are safe in him. So we also want to be praying prayers that help them to know that they can act, that ask God to help them to act. Of course, we want to be equally conscious that we don't just pray prayers that they will act, because that ends up then being a bit legalistic. Lord, please help them to do stuff without actually knowing how safe and cared for they are. We want a balance between, Lord, help them to rest in you, and Lord, help them to know that you are strengthening them to keep going. So other passages of scripture can help us to do that well. Paul's letters and Paul's prayers are absolutely infused with encouragement to persevere. Because Paul basically wrote to people that were finding life hard. I mean, very few of his letters are like, yes, life is good, happy days. You know, they're all about persecution and heresy and church tensions. He got that he was hard, and often he was in prison when he was writing them. So again, we can help our friends to, or we ourselves can pick a clause from a letter, pick maybe part of Paul's prayer. Don't necessarily try and do the whole prayer, just pick a little bit. Memorize it. You turn that into a prayer for our friends and actually then share that with our friends as well. We're going to try that very briefly with Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11, which reads like this. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. There are things in there that we might not obviously pray for our friends when they're going through a tough time. We are so focused on their healing or hope that sometimes we miss the richness of what God is doing. God is like an incredible gardener, but he doesn't just focus on one flower. He's looking at the whole garden, growing many beautiful things, much fruit in our lives. And maybe healing is not his plan for the next few weeks, months, even years. But how about praying this for our friend, that they will be filled with the fruit of righteousness, that they will be able to discern what is best, that they will be able to testify to how much they are longing for others with the affection of Christ, that they know that God is at work and will bring it to completion. How about praying for our friends that we are just thankful for them, that we are grateful that they are in our lives and we love them? We're running short of time, so just 2 minutes for this one. Won't you pray a clause of Philippians 1 for your friend? Well, we are very nearly out of time, but let me encourage you to keep praying the diversity of Scripture for people. Keep praying the depth, going below the surface to the smorgasbord of the things that the Lord may be doing underneath. The Lord is always bringing something good, and so praying in line with that is a joy to behold. And as we pray widely, as we pray deeply, we will see more and more of those prayers answered. And that will spur us on to even bigger prayers, even bolder prayers. And we can do all of that knowing that we are loved. Along the way, we can pray liturgical prayers. Now, some of us will go to very liturgical churches. Others of us, not so much. It's okay. But actually, having liturgical prayers can be lovely. Prayers that are just written out that we can say day by day. We can pray for ourselves as well, that actually the Lord will keep us faithful in our prayers, knowing that actually by praying for them, we are loving our friends deeply. In fact, loving our friends through prayer is probably the most loving thing we can do.